glasses on the wall. Welcome, everybody. I apologize for being a few minutes late tonight. We're just doing some quick housekeeping here up at the bench here before we start. I want to welcome everyone to our regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for August 10th. Can't read with either glasses, can I? August 10th, 2021 at 7 p.m. So we're starting a little bit late, but I am now calling the meeting to order, and I'd ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so our normal housekeeping announcements, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And with that, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda? Sorry.
Thank you.
Here.
Supervisor Court?
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
Supervisor Nunn?
Here.
And Supervisor Whitelaw?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
Very good, Mr. Crispin. With all members being present, we have a quorum, and we will move forward. First indicate that to my left this evening is Mr. Ottinger. He is the law partner with Mr. Armstrong, and he will be, as he has on our Zoom calls, you've seen Will and Pat sometimes swap the meetings, and so this is normal for us to have Will here and sometimes Pat, but just make sure that I introduce you to everybody.
Thanks
for your first time here live. So with that, takes us to the first real item on the agenda is the visitor public comment session of our agenda. I ask that, as the board, we ask that any member of the public wishing to come forward to place a comment on the record, please do so now. There's two sessions, as you know. We ask that you state your name, your first name, last name, and address for the purpose of keeping accurate minutes. We ask that you keep your comments to about 3 minutes. Of course, the board always has a little discretion so that we don't stop people right at 3 minutes on the nose. But if you're just getting close and it doesn't appear that you're winding down, I will gently nudge you to finish up. Other than that, the time is for the public to place comment into the record. So with that, anyone wishing to address the board or place a comment into the record, this is the first such session. Feel free to come forward. All right, seeing as though no one has come forward, we'll move to the next item, which is our consent calendar.
Mr. Chair, I think you have something to read. I'd love to read it.
Okay.
Is that a procedural thing? Does that need to actually be read into the record?
No.
Or just accepted into the record, I believe, correct?
Right, we can accept it into the record. I handed a copy to the stenographer, so it'll appear as part of our
minutes.
That's
what I thought. Thank you.
I will do it now. I was going to do it for the last public comment session, but we did receive a letter written by Mark Opsak. Last name is O-V, as in Victor, S-A-K, and his wife. They live at Mark and Sandy Opsak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but it's 147 West Governor Road here in Hershey. They had submitted a letter that contained a number of issues that they wanted to raise with us as a board. We're entering this letter in its entirety into the record, and the copy has been provided to the stenographer for doing so. I will just sort of summarize the four major points that Mr. Opsak has raised. He raises traffic safety in Derry Township, and the point that he believes too many vehicles are speeding through our town, running red lights and stop signs, as well as tailgating law-abiding drivers. And he'd like to see us, he goes on some further description of issues with traffic safety, but that's essentially issue one. The second issue is the quality of life in Hershey. He believes has been deteriorating for the past 33 years. He talks about things like vehicles with illegal exhausts and the amount litter on the streets is appalling. He also indicates the noise from the concerts that are here in town vis-a-vis Hershey Entertainment. Third, he also raises a concern about people purchasing homes in the village area, tearing them down and building new and larger homes in those same spaces, and how what that does to things like impervious coverage and environmental impacts. Lastly, he raises the issue of property maintenance rules not being enforced as it relates to things like noxious weeds, tree limbs over roads and sidewalks that are too low, hedges and trees that are obstructing passage on sidewalks, and more importantly, blocking sight distances in intersections. These are the four major topics. He also commends a Derry Township police officer who checked on him one day. I don't know if it's evening or morning or afternoon, but he was checking out, watching the train at one of the train crossings, and the officer came up and reached out to him and talked to him to make sure he was okay. So while he was there just train watching, and the officer had the presence of mind to make sure that he was okay, that he wasn't contemplating anything disastrous. So I basically summarized it, and I thank him for his letter. I think it's important that I think each member of the board got a copy of this letter, Mr. Zamuda, so I think it's important that everybody read through it. Chuck, there are some items in here that you'll get a chance to take a look at, but I think by and large, they're mostly things we've addressed, but we have talked about at meetings, and we are taking steps towards addressing, but nevertheless, it's important to hear from residents when they have these concerns, so we thank him for that. Okay, the next item then is the consent calendar. Items under the consent calendar are the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes from July 27th. And then under the next heading, it's financial performance securities. There are four under there. One is the reduction of the financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for Hershey High Point, S-2019-018. The second item is the reduction of the performance security provided for the third revised final land development plan for the Hershey High Point. 1329. The third item is the release of the financial security provided for the stormwater management site plan for Reese's 2020 improvements for the Hershey Company. That's S-2020-011. The last item under financial and performance securities is the release of the financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for the Milton Hershey School Supply Center parking lot expansion, S-2019-023. And then the final item under the consent calendar is under the heading of approval of accounts payable and payroll. We have accounts payable in the amount of $606,618.41 and payroll in the amount of $295,058.71. As all the items under the consent calendar are able to be approved with one motion or separately is the desire of the board, we can entertain a motion for either at this time.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, for the adoption of, under the consent calendar, of A, the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes, B, the financial and performance securities inclusive of B1, B2, B3, and B4, and C, the approval of the accounts payable in the amount of $606,618.41.
And then
payroll of $295,058.71.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Zamuda. Motion made to approve all items on the consent under the consent calendar for this evening. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gordon. Motion seconded. Any discussion or debate? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously. The next item under on the agenda is new business. And the first item under new business deals with employee service recognition. have done in the past, and it may be different now over the last 5 or 6 years, but I'm happy to read off, Mr. Crispin, the names of the employees and the years of service. So we'll build from the few years to the very, very impressive decades worth of experience here. So in our 5-year service recognition, Pete Fiore from the Police Department, Zachary Albleed from the Public Works, Don Elise from the Police Department, Stephen Ortenzio from the Library, Willis Schrouder, Community Development, and Matthew Zagurski from Public Works. Thanking them for 5 years of good and devoted service to the residents of Tarrant Township. At 10 years of service, Andrew Condren from the Police Department, Andrew Herr from the Police Department, Janet Klinger from the Police Department, and Dennis Sawyer from Public Works. All have served 10 years honorably in the service of Tarrant Township. At 15 years of service, Wendy Bergwald from the Police Department, Jeffrey Cothran, the Library, James Kessler, Public Works, and Marie Circuit in Administration. 15 years of honorable service to the township. At 20 years of service, Anthony Bernardo of the Police Department, Dennis Eckenrode from the Police Department, and Kenneth Schenk from the Police Department. All have served 20 years of the Derry Township Police Department and served honorably. At 25 years, Rita Smith from the Library. Rita has served as a devoted public servant to our library in Derry Township for 25 years. And lastly, recognition of those who are retiring or who have recently retired. Cheryl Owens in Finance, 26 years of service. Matt Mandia, Parks and Recreation, 27 years of service. Mary Grace Keppel from the Police Department, 28 years of service. And Brian Grubb from the Police Department, also 29 years of service. All of them have served honorably for almost 3 decades and served the men and the residents of this community honorably, and so we're grateful for that time, and also we wish them well in their retirement, whether they've recently retired or are planning to retire shortly. Although I'm looking at the list, I think that everybody is retired, and Cheryl and Matt may be working sort of part-time, right? How about a round of applause for all those folks? Next item then on our agenda is B1-25. It's the preliminary final subdivision plan for the Hershey Trust Company's Ridgeway, plat number 1338. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Hershey Trust Company is proposing to subdivide a 6.115 acre lot, identified as lot number 3, and it's in the area where I'm showing the cursor. From attractive land containing approximately 234.3 acres of land. Lot number 2, Track 1, is in the planned Campus South Zoning District. Lot number 2, Track 2, is located in the Conservation District, so this would be Track 1, and this would be Track 2. And the frontage along Fishburne Road is within the Homestead Road and Fishburne Road overlay. Proposed lot number 3 contains the former student home named the Ridgeway, who was last used as an office for the Brownstone Realty, which has since moved to the former American Automobile Club building on Governor Road. The office use there was permitted through a conditional use approval for a unique building, where it was shown that the building met the criteria of the zoning ordinance to be utilized as a professional office. A small portion of the 234.3 acres of land subject to this plan is situated in Conewaga Township, and that's this little corner here that I'm showing. Conewaga Township granted a subdivision waiver. In other words, they're not reviewing this plan. There's nothing happening there. Actually, there's very little happening on this plan, to be honest with you. They're creating a lot around an existing building. So with the exception of a few monuments and markers and a few trees to be added, there's no consideration for traffic or stormwater necessary. More importantly, and almost more exciting, just a moment to zoom into this. Get give me a little while to move into this. One element that the trust is committed to do, by the way, lot three is in this general area. One thing the trust is committed to do as part of this plan, understanding that they did have an obligation to put in sidewalks, and will retain having an obligation to put in sidewalks, we are giving a deferment. They have committed to constructing a piece of trail, if you're familiar with our system, that runs from the trail that goes behind Jacobs Creek and out into the neighborhood, along the backside of this neighborhood and over to Homestead Road, which is connecting to, you know, part of our future trail system. So this will enable a really solid connection and a good place for people to get across the road. Otherwise, typically, if you're doing this trail, you're coming down through Jacobs Creek, you're coming up McCorkle, and then along 743 or out Scout Road, it's gravel in some spots. So this will provide a really nice connection back through the community. The other thing they're doing as part of this is this entire plan that I had up there, the entire area, I started documenting the easements that we've obtained over the years for the Johnny Kineshnower Trail, where they're recorded, what their terms are, and what their size is. And as you can see, the easement that runs to the backside of Jacobs Creek did come from the Hershey Trust Company in July of 2000, and it has a 30-year term. They've committed, as part of this plan approval, to accept a condition that they re-record that easement to be a perpetual easement with a clause that they could relocate it at their cost if need be in the future. So I think those are two really good benefits that are coming out of the plan that's really creating up property lines around an existing building. They've requested a waiver of a planning waiver for sewage since they're not creating any new lots, any new buildings. Planning Commission Chair has signed that the Board of Supervisors will be signing that as well, considering approval of the plan. They've asked for a series of waivers and deferments. They've asked for a waiver from providing profiles of existing stormwater systems, sanitary sewer systems, and gas and water systems. And of course, with no construction, we've supported that waiver. They've asked for a waiver regarding plan scale, really associated with being able to show the overall plan. At a scale on a single sheet. As you go through this set of drawings, the plans are broken up and kind of hard to follow, so we support that waiver, provided that all information is clearly shown on that plan. They've requested a deferment from regarding sidewalk installation along all road frontages, and again, the Planning Commission and staff recommends that the deferment be granted with the stipulation that Hershey Trust Company enters into the appropriate agreement with the township regarding their proposal for future bicycle and pedestrian trail connections. They've asked for a waiver regarding the cartway widths and curb installation, and Planning Commission staff recommend that waiver. They've asked for a waiver regarding wetland identification. Again, since there's no construction proposed, Planning Commission and staff are recommending that waiver. They've asked for a partial waiver providing shade trees, and they're asking for that waiver just along the McCorkle Road frontage. And Planning Commission and staff are recommending that waiver. And finally, they've asked for a waiver regarding radial lot lines. The lot lines are supposed to be radial to the road, and as you can see, they're not quite. However, the Planning Commission staff recommended that they would be granted as well. I'm recommending approval of Plat 1338 condition upon the following items being satisfactorily addressed: that the applicant shall reimburse the township for all costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than September 10th, 2021, and that they shall continue to satisfy all payments, all invoices received for professional services related to this plan in accordance with Section 503 of the MPC. The following items need done by February 10th, 2022, that the applicant shall provide financial security to guarantee the installation of 7 trees as depicted on the plan in the amount of $2,435 in a manner and form acceptable to the township, and that the applicant shall provide financial security and guarantee the completion of the pedestrian trail as depicted on the plan in the amount of $150,965 in a manner and form acceptable to the township. And finally on item number two, that the applicant shall agree to and execute a development and financial security agreement in a manner and form acceptable to the township. They are also required to revise the plan to show the sanitary sewer connections to the building, to revise the plan to identify the sanitary sewer lines, whether they're public or private. The applicant shall provide two originals of the planning waiver and non-building declaration that are signed by the applicant, along with two copies of any supporting information that's required to be submitted to DEP. The applicant shall comply with and or otherwise satisfy the comments in the Township Engineer's Review Letter dated July 12, 2021, in a manner and form acceptable to the Township. The applicant shall provide a CD containing the digital file of the final plan in AutoCAD or DXF compatible format. The applicant shall provide deeds of dedication and accompanying exhibits for additional right-of-way along Fishburne Road and Corporal Road. The applicant shall provide two originals of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement. And finally, for items that need addressed by February 10th, 2022, the applicant shall provide two originals of a signed and notarized agreement for the bicycle pedestrian trail and shall provide a revised easement for the extension of the term of the existing trail in a manner and form acceptable to the township. And then once through all of that, the applicant shall continue to comply with all outside agency requirements, including but not limited to PennDOT, PADP, FAA, and EPA. The applicant shall record the development and financial security agreement or a memorandum of the same concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the agreement for the bicycle pedestrian trail that is proposed in lieu of the sidewalks, and also shall record the revised easement for the extension of the terms for the existing trail. And finally, the applicant shall record the deeds of dedication for additional right-of-way along Fishburne Road and Corporal Road concurrently with the plan. I'm also recommending that the waivers be granted as outlined in the explanation section of this agenda. And that completes my report. There are representatives here at the plan if there are any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this request?
I'll offer a motion that the waivers and deferments are granted from the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final subdivision plan for Hershey Trust Company, Ridgeway, Plat 1338.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. I'm sorry, I didn't hear at all. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Here are none. All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Here are none. The ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich.
Sure.
The company motion must also.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and offer the second motion that the preliminary final subdivision plan for Hershey Trust Company, Ridgeway, Plat 1338 is approved, subject to compliance with items 1 through 14 in the Department and Recommendations section of the agenda item.
Very good. Thank you. Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving this motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously. Move to the next item, which is just what I'm looking for here. The next item on the agenda is C26-38. It's the adoption of a decision for conditional use application number 2021-01 for residential cluster development use on property located at 790 Stalkers Church Road, Palmyra, Pennsylvania, 17078. It's filed by Kevin Pauser. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. As discussed at the public hearing on July 13th, 2021, the land which is the subject of this matter is located on the south side of Stalkers Church Road in the area of the Dauphin County, Lebanon County border. So again, we have a municipal boundary that travels through the property about here. The tract contains approximately 37.1 acres of area, a portion of which is located in Lebanon County. The lands in Dairy Township are located within the Conservation Zoning District, and the lands in Southland and Dairy Township are located in the Agricultural Zoning District. The applicant seeks the authorization to cluster 7 dwelling units on the land utilizing the density bonus of 25% that is available as part of the cluster approval. The Dairy Township Planning Commission at their meeting on June 1st, 2021 recommended that the conditional use application be approved. I'm recommending that the decision for conditional use application number 2021-01 be adopted. The MPC does allow the township to attach certain conditions. These conditions have been reviewed by our legal counsel as well. I'm going to give a summary of each one for you and for the record. The conditions of the approval would be that the applicant process and secure all approvals of the subdivision plan, that the applicant obtain the requisite zoning review from the Dairy Township Zoning Hearing Board to allow 7 dwelling units to access the common driveway as depicted on the cluster development sketch. In the event the applicant fails to secure the requisite zoning relief, no more than 6 dwelling units may be accessed from the common driveway. The applicant shall establish a nonprofit organization or homeowners association for the common ownership, care, and maintenance of the common open space, stormwater facilities, and common driveway, together with any other common areas of development. The site development shall be in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations. The applicant shall file for and receive approval of all permits, land development, subdivision, or site plans that may be required. The authorization of the conditional use by the board shall expire if an approved subdivision and land development plan for the proposed use is not recorded in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds within 24 months from the date of the grant of approval. The applicant shall ensure that the homes located within this proposed residential cluster development are situated in such a manner so that the taxes for the lots and improvements are assessed in Dairy Township. The applicant shall construct the improvements in general compliance with the plans and specifications submitted to the board during the hearing in the matter, provided, however, that if the improvements that are subject to the hearing require modifications not contrary to the conditional use requirements due to other approvals, permits, land development, subdivision, or site plan approvals that may be required, the board may approve such modifications at the time of land development. However, in the event such modifications are deemed to be of such a substantive nature that the board determines the applicant needs to secure a new conditional use approval, the board may require the applicant to submit a new conditional use application for review and consideration in action by the board. The applicant shall comply with all other applicable regulations, ordinances, and resolutions of Dairy Township and county, state, and federal laws. The applicant shall ensure the common driveway allows for emergency service vehicles to access the proposed lots. The applicant shall agree to execute and record a shared driveway easement in a manner and form acceptable to the township at the time of land development. The applicant shall agree to execute and record a conservation easement or similar easement for the proposed common open space in a manner and form acceptable by the township at the time of land development. The applicant shall dedicate the mandatory park and rec land or provide a fee in lieu of the same in the amount determined by the township in accordance with the subdivision and land development ordinance. The cluster development sketch dated April 30th, 2021, within Exhibit Applicant 1, is the plan receiving conditional use. It's the plan that's projected on the screen from the board, subject to subdivision and land development review and approval. The homeowners association shall be responsible for all snow removal along the common driveway and shall ensure that no snow is pushed, dumped, and or otherwise placed along or upon a township road. The homeowners association shall be responsible for all maintenance of and snow removal along any and all sidewalks abutting common open space and or the common driveway. The applicant shall comply with the requirements of the Dairy Township Zoning Ordinance, including the sections related to the conditional use application. And finally, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be considered a violation of the Dairy Township Zoning Ordinance and shall be subject to enforcement as provided for in the zoning ordinance. That concludes my report. Randy Wright is here if there's any questions about the
development. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Wright on this matter? Hearing none, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that decision for conditional use application number 2021-01 is hereby adopted.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? I'll just point out for the record that we held a public hearing on this on July 13th, and all of the items that were discussed at that public hearing at that time seem to have been reasonably covered in the conditions attached to this approval. So we've covered everything in this, and I support it. So anyone else have anything to add before we take a vote? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving this motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion is approved unanimously. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is D39-41. This is an update on the Hershey Community Center operations. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Parks and Recreation Department has established proposed hours of operation and the fee structure for the upcoming Hershey Community Center. These hours and fees were advised by Ballard King & Associates after conducting market analysis and utilizing nationwide data for the Parks and Recreation Services and amenities that will be provided. This information is being brought before the Board of Supervisors this evening to allow for questions and comments regarding the proposed operations. So up on the screen, you can see the hours of operation that we are proposing for the center, Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 9 p.m., Saturday from 7 to 7, Sunday from 9 to 7 p.m., totaling 99 and a half hours per week. And of course, these hours may be extended or reduced based on seasonal needs, use patterns, and special event considerations. Also, the summer pool hours, so operations strictly related to the outdoor pool, Memorial Day through Labor Day weekend, we are proposing 56 hours per week, so the daily operating schedule of 12 to 8. So for reference, the Hershey Recreation Center was open 95 and a half hours per week, so we would be looking to expand hours on Sundays, which would account for that 4-hour weekly increase. Also, previously the outdoor pool at the former Hershey Recreation Center was open 49 hours per week, so we would be looking at an additional hour to our daily operating schedule there. So if we scroll down, can see our next is our proposed membership and daily fee structure. There are 6 options that patrons can choose from. You have a daily admission, a 10-pass admission, 1 month, 3 month, an annual upfront, and then you have an annual commitment with a monthly auto draft option. So you can see there's 2 categories there, resident and non-resident. You can see that there's a 25% premium that is charged to our non-residents. This is pretty standard in the industry, recognizing that non-taxpayers to the township should pay more for the services, but we do need to draw from our secondary service area, so it is important to the financial health of the center that we do not price them out of the market. So I'll walk you through the resident prices here. You can see under daily options, the youth and senior rate would be $8 and $10 for adults. For the 10-pass admission, you have $90 for adults, $72 for youth and senior. For the 1 month no commitment, just 1 month option, you would have $62 for adults, $45 for youth and seniors, and $101 for a family membership. 3 month is $172 for adult, $125 for the youth and senior option, and $281 for a family. Residents are adults would be $550, youth and seniors at $400, and $900 for an upfront family membership. And for the monthly auto draft option, adults would be $49 per month, $37 for youth and seniors, and $78 for family membership. And again, it's certainly not apples-to-apples comparison, but for reference, the previous Hershey Recreation Center charged a daily admission fee of $6 for youth and seniors and $7 for adults. And one of our most popular membership options at the previous center was the family summer pool membership option, which we charged $243 for family. In place of that would be this three-month option that we would have. And you can see that that would be at $281 for a family. And lastly, we'll scroll down and go over the rental fees. Once again, these proposed rental fees follow the same price structure in that there is a 25% premium charged to any renters outside of the township. So I'll briefly just walk down through them. Pool lane fees would be $15 per hour. Kitchen would be $35. Our classrooms, party rooms, small group fitness would be in the $45 category. Our lounge and game room and half-court gymnasium would be $50. Large group fitness room and a section of our multi-purpose community banquet room would be $75. And then the next three would be our party packages with our gym party, a swim party package, and then a swim and gym party package together, ranging from $140 up to $270 for those. And then you get to our larger rentals, the multi-purpose community room, which would be the entire banquet room, would be for a four-hour block, would be $800. And then also, if we got into after-hours rentals for the entire facility, that rate would be set at $1,200. So those are the hours and fees that we are proposing for the new Hershey Community Center. Of course, we may discover a need for change as our operations progress, but this is what we are recommending as we prepare to open the center, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Maybe Zach, questions for Zach? Go ahead, Rick.
Susan, go ahead.
Susan, go first.
Okay, sure. Yeah. We may all have some questions. I can't see you, Zach, but I have a bunch of questions, and some of you and I have already talked about, but I thought it'd be good to bring it up here. First of all, I was wondering if you and others, maybe with Ken Ballard, could consider some sort of a teen pass. I see that there is a teen daily rate, but I'm really concerned about our teens, especially those who are struggling to have an activity after school. I mean, you know, you witnessed how many kids coming after school for so many years. I know you have to let them in the building and give them kind of free rein, but if there's any way of just giving them a pass to be in the teen room for $2 or something that just kind of gives them a little skin in the game but doesn't cost as much as $8 for an afternoon. They might only be there for an hour.
Sure.
Or 2 hours, and I know we want to stick to the whole feeling of it being a community center, so that would be one thing that I would ask you to consider. And I don't know if this is sort of standard in the industry, but if you take the adults and you multiply it by two, especially if you look at like the EFT, it's only slightly less than a whole family membership. So I didn't know if you could maybe consider doing like a discount for couples or, you know, two members, because the family membership is not that much more, and if you don't have that many more people, maybe just a few dollars less per month might encourage couples to join. I know that it would be interesting for the public to know about your connection with Silver Sneakers, because a lot of our seniors who have that program won't need to pay. They just swipe their card and it's taken care of.
Correct. Okay. And we do plan to participate in the healthcare reimbursement programs.
Okay, good. And then the other piece is with some sort of a scholarship fund. I know we had talked about this a long time ago, but if there's anything that we can do to offer, you know, some assistance to families who, you know, I don't know what the parameters would be, but just something to make sure that it's accessible for as many people as possible. And then lastly, I promise this is my last question, with the rentals for the swimming, are those the fees also negotiated with Dare Township School District and other school districts, or is that something separate than what you've listed up here on the screen?
For the lane fees?
Mm-hmm.
Those would be, and nothing set in stone for those commitments yet, but these are understanding verbally that we've had with those groups that this would be the fees that we would be charging.
Okay.
So resident, a group in the resident in the township would be paying $15 per lane. Outside of the township, we'd be looking at $18 a lane.
And then also to just mention about the early sale and the discount that you'll probably do at some point.
Yes.
In January-ish.
Yep, so we're looking early next year. We'll be doing membership pass pre-sale So we'll be offering some incentives. For instance, you know, it could be like an annual membership and you would get a few extra months tacked onto that as well. So we'll be looking to offer some of those incentives to the residents early next year.
Thank you.
Well, I can go ahead.
Go ahead.
Your point about the scholarships was my point. When I had seen that, and I was a little concerned that there wasn't any option for that. I would have liked to have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
A follow-up question. Are the revenues from this going to be able to cover what we need?
Yes, when we built in our operations analysis pro forma, these were rates that were used. So these were the assumptions that we used.
What was the capture rate you used?
Capture rate, it depends on the primary service area and secondary service area. I'd have to go back and look exactly what those were.
Well, what I looked at, it was 8%.
Right, and then a smaller for the secondary service area.
Yeah, okay.
But all those, so many in each category that we're assuming, and then that would equal the revenue projections that we came up with.
I think, along with everybody else, we're all concerned that these rates are going to cover the costs that we're looking at, the hiring, the insurance rates, and all the other stuff that goes with the chemicals, the water,
yep.
And everything.
Yep, that's all been factored in, like I said, with these assumptions.
This is on you, man. This is on you. You're at the point right now. That's it. Thank you. Thanks, Zach.
Sure.
And quick follow-up, Zach. Mm-hmm. Will you at some point be putting together or sharing with us more of a business plan, if you will, to kind of look at the expenses versus the potential income, just so we can kind of look at the whole?
Certainly, and we're working on that. I mean, it's really part of the 2022 budget, so it is kind of budget season that I'm putting those numbers together, so have a lot of those figures. And we've gotten some updates with COVID, some things, some expenses have changed, so we've been going back in and factoring all that in as well.
Chris, we have to approve these rates, don't we?
Excuse me, what will happen is these rates, as they're presented tonight, as long as there aren't any major objections to it by the board, will be included as part of the updated fee schedule resolution that the board adopts along with the budget. So this will come as part of the larger fee structure for the township. So when you open that up, you'll see all of the fees for everything.
Well, Susan's concern and my concern about the scholarship issue and the potential for bringing out maybe the family membership and what else did you mention?
Oh, couples, but I mean, I think this is a good starting
yeah.
point. And you know, whatever the iterations are between now and November for budget season, just obviously keep this posted. I think the scholarship thing is a much bigger conversation and not really part of this. That's more of a how do we set up an endowment and look for partners to help fund that and what's the criteria to be able to apply. And so I don't even see that as part of this necessarily, but definitely something to address before the year's up.
Absolutely.
I
just have one question in regards to what you meant. What you mentioned about perhaps changing the timing of when the center is open and also the fee structure. There's also the ability to change that if we need to because we're not meeting our budget goals. Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. It could go either direction in terms of we find a need that we need to expand the hours, or to your point. If we're finding that budgetarily,
or change the fees,
or change it, or even shift those one direction or the other, keep the same amount of hours, but maybe alter them earlier or later, depending on what we determine the needs are.
And I know this is a brand new center, so there's no real experience on how this will work and who will come and how many members we'll get, but how long do you think before you'll have a firm understanding about how much this really will cost us to run the center efficiently?
We should have a full picture. When we worked with Ballard King Associates, they did everything from the second full year of operation. So that's how they kind of identify where you can really see where you're gonna land is by looking at the second full year. Because other than that, you're still ramping up, you're still increasing your program and your staffing, fine tuning. So really that second full year, I mean, certainly we'll make some alterations if we need to along the way, but that will give you the clearest picture that second year.
So these fees will go into the budget for next year when the center opens, and then potentially make some tweaks in maybe 2023, and then 2024 we'll have a good idea of kind of what the big picture is and what we're looking at. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Carter, any questions?
Yeah, just to confirm, nothing is in stone. I know you said it twice.
Correct.
And also, I just had a question about the outdoor pool, just from growing up and always wanting to be down there at like 9 in the morning. Is it a function of staff or temperature, or are swim teams using it? Well, I know you've increased the hours, but I'm sure people are going to say, hey, why can't we get in until noon? So I just want to have a good response.
In the previous recreation center, we had swim team. Swim team would use that outdoor pool in the morning, and then we also had early morning lap swimming. So we are envisioning having lap lanes in early morning for outdoor swimming. So although the entire pool may not be open with the slide and the diving well open and all that kind of thing, we do envision having some lap lanes available out in the outdoor pool, so it won't be completely closed off.
Got it. But that's the reason why the later start time for the outdoor, is because you expect to have other stuff going on.
Correct, and staffing, just the cost of staffing as well. Obviously, the more hours that you're open, you're encountering a lot more staffing costs.
Got it. Makes sense. Thank you.
And the water is really cold in the morning.
It can be.
Remember taking your kids for swim lessons at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning?
And then, Zach, my question really relates to this dynamic between residential rate and non-residential rate. So I know you've worked with Ballard Spar, or Ballard King, just the Freudian stuff, on this issue. And of course, I know it's a delicate balance. This is the first time I've worked on that issue over the years. And we have to be careful about how high the non-residential rate is, but for legal reasons. But I just want to make sure we're maximizing that opportunity. I know that we want to keep that secondary market, and we want people coming, and we want activity at the community center, but I'm also sensitive to the taxpayers who pay taxes that are helping support this, and then are also paying a fee to belong, versus folks who don't live here, who aren't paying taxes, and are just paying the fees. So I would just, I don't have any one particular one that concerns me, but I just ask that you continue to have that dialogue with Ballard King, because I'd like to push that. If there's room to push up, I'd like to see us push up.
You mean past the 25%?
Well, whatever that looks like. I mean, recognizing we have to be careful.
Right.
Because I think I'd like to see us do everything we can to obviously want to maximize revenue in the facility, but I also don't want to necessarily maximize on the backs of the taxpayers.
Agreed. Well, Mr. Chair, 25% is agreeable to both the SFA and the Ballard King pro formas. So that's like a standard rate across.
It is typically an industry standard, and we have been cautioned that we know there's temptation to try and pass some of that along to the non-residents if they're using the facility and the services, but it can be detrimental if you go past that line, and it can harm you that way.
All right, well, I noted it, and we're at where we have to be, or the most we can be, I respect that, but I just want to make that note.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you stating that there's going to be maturity after 2 years? Is that what you're saying when you're talking about the budget?
Not maturity.
Terms of that it's going to be a stable operation after 2 years.
It will certainly be stabilized. I mean, obviously, we're still with some of the projections. We're still going beyond that in terms of revenue projection. But from Ken Ballard, from Ballard King's associate, as they're looking at community center operations, their benchmark is year two.
See, I think that's very optimistic. I would rather work with the SFA if they're doing 5 year.
Correct. Yeah, they take it out.
Which to me makes more sense, because there's a lot of stuff going to be happening, especially in that third and fourth year. And then maybe that fifth year, things start calming down.
Right.
Everybody knows what they're doing.
But I think maybe what Zach was saying was an answer to Natalie's question in terms of when can we have a more firm grasp on budgeting, that after we get through the first year, by year two, we should have a better grasp on it. Not that we don't
disagree.
Yeah, but programming should be somewhat, you know, stabilized. Staffing level should be fine-tuned at that point. So, you know, as far as operations go, we should have a much clearer picture. But to your point, Rick, it's not fully mature. We're still going to be progressing with our programming and things like that. a membership.
Yeah, I would say 4 years, 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's a huge operation.
I'm not sure what the significant, I hear what you're saying, I don't disagree with you, but I think for purposes of this presentation.
I know, I just,
no,
it was something I got when I was reading everything, and I went back and I pulled all my pro formas and I started reading again.
I'm going to think to Natalie's point about budgeting, that you'll, I mean, every day, every year, you're going to have more information, and probably by year two, you'll have a more clear idea of whether you need to adjust hours, adjust rates, you know. Obviously, the more time goes on, hopefully the more clear picture you have. At least by year two, I think it'd be less guesswork and more.
What I was trying to make a point is, when is it going to be stable enough that, if anything, it'll more or less be static. Nothing's, it'll change, very small changes.
I think you're right about it. 5 years probably more realistic in terms of average issue, but I understand the 2 year point for baseline.
I just wanted to follow up to what you said, and I think that you said it, and I think Supervisor Ford said it as well. Residents will have the first bite of every apple at the center, correct?
Right. Absolutely.
All the programs, all the memberships, our residents will be the first to have access to everything. I just want to make sure.
Correct. That's you are correct. So okay. I talked about the membership pass pre-sale. That will go on sale to members before it goes on to sale, or I'm sorry, residents before it goes on sale to non-residents. And like we've always done with our programming, we usually give a 2 week lead time for residents to register before we open it up to non-residents.
Great. Okay.
Anybody else? Well, thank you, Zach. Very good presentation. Appreciate it. All right, that should take us to the next item on the agenda. And as I'm looking at it, it's E42-52, the briefing item to discuss historic preservation regulations. Mr. Emmerich. So I have an old agenda,
yes.
Just so you know, just stating. We still got to work out the kinks here. We're getting there, but I get it.
That actually wasn't an official agenda.
No, you don't understand. The packet was made for me, so it's not printed out. This was just printed for me today.
Oh.
Okay, so I used the actual paper that the computer to do the meeting, but I appreciate that everybody weighed in on it.
We jumped on it, actually.
I know what the agenda said, but the one in front of me is different, obviously. So we'll move to the next item, which is the request by Tunnels to Towers Foundation. I'll never forget walk on Saturday, August 28th, 2021, at 11 a.m. Gene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not feel slighted that you're ever.
There was no problem on the line.
So the mission of Tunnel of Towers Foundation is to honor the sacrifice of firefighter Stephen Siller, who laid down his life to save others on September 11, 2001. They also honor our military and first responders who continue to make the supreme sacrifice of life and limb for our country. Tunnel to Towers CEO Frank Siller will walk more than 500 miles and pass through six states over the course of 42 days in remembrance of September 11, 2001. Parades will be in select cities featuring first responders, program participants, community residents, local lawmakers, and foundation supporters. Hershey, PA was selected as one of the cities where a parade will be held in remembrance of those who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. Due to the nature of the event and the roadways involved, roadways will need to be closed off and only local residential traffic will be permitted while the event is going on. The roadways closed will be both state and township roadways and will include Chocolate Avenue, a small section of Cocoa Avenue, and a small section of Mill Street. The parade route will begin on Chocolate Avenue and proceed east towards Cocoa Avenue. The staging area will be on Mill Street. The parade will then turn right on Cocoa Avenue and then turn right on the Caracas, where the parade will come to an end in front of the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. We will be using some on-duty police officers and on-duty community service officers, but with a number of traffic control points, we will need some commitment from fire police throughout the region. It's a Saturday. The park will be open. We have a concert that evening, so we're going to be a little stretched thin, but hopefully we'll be able to use fire police and some possible help from HENR, their fire police, to man some of these traffic control points. It was reviewed by the traffic safety section. I reviewed it also. I do have some concerns with it. It will overlap the Market on Chocolate a little bit. So I think the end point for the parade will need to be changed. I don't think they will be able to end on Caracas in front of the fire department due to some of the traffic for Market on Chocolate. So that would need to be changed for them to be able to have an end point and be able to gather at the end of the parade. So that is that's my major concern, is the end of the parade, where it will be staged at. I think it is definitely an honor that this being the 20th anniversary of September 11th, definitely is an honor to have them be Hershey as a selected location for one of these walking parades.
All right, so Chief, so your recommendation I see is you're asking us to vote to approve this.
I think the parade itself can be approved. I would need to get with the organizer to have a different end spot, because I don't think that end spot that they want in front of the fire company, I don't think that's going to work. It would be nice, but I think with the Market on Chocolate happening at that, you know, roughly around that same time, it's going to be clearing up towards when this parade would arrive. But I just don't think that that end spot should be chanced and maybe moved to a different location.
Should be
in a parking lot. That's what I was thinking. Of course, that would be the trust and the company. I don't foresee a big issue about that, but at this point, I don't have their blessing on that.
So would our approval then be pending the chief and his department finding a different endpoint for the parade?
Probably we would condition upon his, you know, the chief's satisfactory discussions with the parade organizers. To adjust the route accordingly.
That would probably be better than waiting another 2 weeks since it's getting close.
If I could, there could be an option for Chocolate Town West, the field in front of the theater. Vehicles can access in there. Which is across the street from the firehouse.
That would be a possibility, because we would already have that section of Cocoa shut down.
Right.
Well, I guess, Garden, we don't really need to determine. I mean, we could, as Susan said, we could leave it. We could approve this conditionally, assuming that you find that the parade route can be satisfactorily tweaked to avoid problems with, you know, the market and with the Ben and Tim Day activities.
Yeah, I don't think Ben and Tim will be cleared up by the time this kicks off.
The market is still at 1:30.
The market will still be going. And this will be the parade route is what we plan to do with the parade route is allow local traffic, allow traffic across these roadways until the parade progresses to a point where we need to shut things down in that segment. So it'll almost be like a rolling roadblock type of situation where as soon as it passes, then we'll open up that backside of the parade route and allow traffic to flow. So I don't see it as a big parade. It's not gonna be the size of the Memorial Day parade or the Halloween parade or anything like that. We're talking some pieces of apparatus, some people walking in it, those type of things, but it's not going to be anything that's going to be long and involved.
Well, with the what we've sort of talked about up here, be satisfactory to you when we conditionally approve it?
Yes, yes. And I think looking in either to the theater lot or the grass lot next to the theater building would probably suffice.
Does the community know that this is coming to Hershey's?
We have had some inquiries. You know, obviously, we need to make sure it's going to happen, and then we can start putting some information out. The people at the market on Chaco would probably actually appreciate a parade going by towards the end of the market. So, once we determine that it's a green light and it's a go, we'll start putting some information out about it so people can view the parade from the parade route.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that the request to hold the Tunnel of Towers Never Forget Walk on Saturday, August 28th, 2021 at 11 a.m. is hereby approved with the condition that the Dare Township Police Department find an alternate end spot for the parade to disband.
All right, thank you. Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and this motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda then is F43-50. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 403 Nye Road for S. Tyler Velasky. It's S-2021-014. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this stormwater management facility is for a pole barn to be erected at 403 Nye Road. And as you said, the applicant and owners are the Velaskys. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $10,441 is to be provided. The applicants have provided the security in the form of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the cash financial security in the amount of $10,441 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with the Velaskys for the stormwater management plan for 403 Nye Road, S-2021-014.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Emmer on this item? If not, we can accept or entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts cash financial security in the amount of $10,441 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with S. Tyler and Tara A. Velasky for the stormwater management plan for 403 Nye Road for S. Tyler Velasky.
All right, very good. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none then, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That concludes new business under the agenda. That will take us to the next item, which is the Supervisor Board of Committee Reports. As normally we will start with Mr. Zaluda, then Ms. Court, then Mrs. Nutt, Mr. Wyckoff, and then me. So, Mr. Zaluda, Supervisor Board of Committee Reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Please bear with me. I have a couple of different things to go through. Since the last board meeting, both Ms. Nutt and I attended a Greater Hershey Transportation Study Group, where we continue to review the options given to us in that study. And Ms. Nutt and I also attended one of her favorite things. I'll let her talk about that when her time comes. That's all that came up in the past week. Upcoming events in Hershey, as you know, this week, the next couple days, the Fish Concert, tonight and tomorrow. Over the weekend, it was Green Day. Those are going to be the two big traffic concerts of the year. after that, they become a little more low-key. FEMA is also going to have an alert systems test on Wednesday tomorrow at 2:20, so if you hear sirens going off, don't get too excited about that. The school board, the Darien Township School Board, is going to have a meeting tomorrow, or Thursday, I'm sorry, at 6 p.m. I'm assuming it's going to concern masks, wearing masks in school. Now, as you know, over the last several months, there's been issues concerning traffic safety downtown. One of the things that's holding us up right now is an indemnification letter from PennDOT. And our council has been unable to contact PennDOT at this point to discuss the issues with them. So what I'd like to discuss is signing the letter now, because some of these things cannot wait. The two that specific items I'm talking about are crossing lights at Valley and Chocolate and Cocoa and Brook. Obviously, the pedestrian crossings. Any comment from the board? I'm moving forward with that.
Anybody have any comment? I just have a question, Will. Yeah. I remember when we talked about this the last time, either it was an exec session or the board supervisor meeting, I don't recall, but it didn't sound like we've had a lot of luck contacting PennDOT or getting to return our call. We're obviously frustrated with that, so we're kind of put in this kind of tough spot because we want to move ahead and forward, but we also recognize that by signing the contract, we're obligating ourselves to this agreement with PennDOT. If I understand it correctly, Chuck, the agreement, or anyone can answer this, the agreement is that we would then maintain all traffic signals in the township?
Among other things, yes.
Right, and that, I understand, is not a major departure from the way Darien Township currently operates. The major departure for Darien Township would be the indemnification agreement. You have a malfunctioning traffic light where, under normal circumstances, if you imagine an accident occurs, you have somebody who's injured and they sue PennDOT and they sue Darien Township. Now they sue PennDOT, Darien Township is entering into an indemnification agreement whereby Darien's insurance carrier picks up the defense for PennDOT. Now, this isn't something where PennDOT's picking on Darien Township. It's been sent out all over the state. I know we discussed, I think last meeting I attended, which was on Zoom, we discussed whether we had seen this in any of the municipalities that my law firm represents. I think we have actually begun to see this, and I've certainly seen it on municipalities that we don't represent, and they're now signing these agreements. So, I mean, if there are reservations, I do have reservations, but now it seems that municipalities are just going ahead and signing these. And I know I discussed before the term contract of adhesion, which basically means this is the contract, take it or leave it. And that's sort of what's being pushed upon you, and that's kind of what happens when there's not equal negotiating power. And that's where
I think the point is, right now we can't do anything
right
until we get this signed, and it doesn't look like PennDOT wants to cooperate with us.
Not quickly.
At all,
but certainly not quickly. I mean, we haven't had any contact. Pat's called several times. I think he got one call back, and that led to a dead end.
So we have a choice of either to sign it and be done with it, or
keep pressing,
fiddle around.
Right.
And what? If we signed it and we move forward, is there a potential to revisit it with PennDOT, or is it more likely PennDOT?
I think if there's a groundswell of municipalities that all kind of uprise together, maybe you get a chance to revisit it. I don't think you have much of a chance as a single municipality to revisit. So, but then again, do you have a chance as a single municipality to change PennDOT's approach anyway? I mean, which is what we're really trying to do, is change PennDOT's contract as a single municipality. What you need is a grassroots movement of municipalities across Pennsylvania to challenge this. And right now I don't see it. Maybe in the future,
But again, that's also an argument as to why in the future, you know, there could be an opportunity for this contract to be undone.
So Will, they're asking us to indemnify them for legal costs, PennDOT's legal costs.
Legal costs, liability.
Liability too, okay. Right.
Again, but there's not, I mean, they're not negotiating with anyone either. So it's, I know it sounds like a potential heavy ask, and recognize that there are still municipal claim limits, so it's not an open-ended liability that the township's assuming, and there are also limits on municipal liability just in general, not just financial amounts, but just whether a township can be held liable, can be sued, basically. So, you know, it sounds like a blank check or an open-ended check anyway, but it's the law still cuts out municipal liability. It curtails municipal liability. It limits municipal liability. So, you know, for as scary as it sounds, I walk that back a little bit.
But these changes are taking PennDOT out of the equation.
Right, PennDOT's
so free and clear of, and all the municipalities are now completely on the hook by themselves.
Correct. Now, usually you're through your insurance carrier, and that doesn't mean that somebody doesn't sue PennDOT, because there's deep pockets there, but what PennDOT's saying is that you have to add us basically as an additional insured, and whenever PennDOT is sued, they're going to come to the township and say, pick up our costs. You know, you're on for defending this, and you'll turn it over to your insurance carrier, so it could affect insurance rates.
So there could be a groundswell of municipalities,
yes,
as they start to, we were one of the first to deal with this.
Yes.
Now as additional municipalities realize the implications of these changes, that PSATs and we'll start to kind of gather the group together. But I see what Supervisor Smitter's point is, like, don't want to wait years for those things to happen. But
right.
That is definitely concerning.
I share your concern, and from what I've seen, no, this is not an issue that other municipalities have taken up. I mean, this is not something where I've seen lobbyists standing at the doors in Harrisburg trying to get this to be changed. And if it's a matter of projects that the township wants to see move forward.
Well, this is part of the groundswell from the public too,
right,
to get these things done, at least these two initial ones, and then moving on. We're waiting with HRG to get a downtown safety study done, and we'll probably be in plenty other things too. And if I just, people are not patient. I've gotten an earful over this past weekend at our market. I'm there every weekend, people come and talk to me, and I've gotten an earful about this. Why isn't this done? What's happening? I went back on our transportation meeting minutes. I mentioned this to a couple of people. We started talking about this in August of 2018.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think the people in the township should wait any longer. That's my opinion, but I have to go with what the board says.
Chris, do you have a recommendation?
You know, my thoughts on it are simply that, you know, we're kind of over a barrel, I hate to say it like that, but ultimately the net of this all, and I've talked to several of you over the last day or so, is that this transportation services maintenance agreement is holding up every other PennDOT permit that the township needs to complete projects in all of their corridors. You know, ultimately, we need to make those improvements. I don't think, and as Will noted, you know, we've been trying to negotiate with PennDOT, but it's trying to negotiate with one arm behind the back. You know, they're not necessarily looking to cooperate. I talked to Chris earlier today, and this reminds me of an issue years ago with DEP, where, you know, stormwater management was pushed off of state roadways onto the plate of the municipality as well. So suddenly that becomes an issue. So it's the same kind of tack with PennDOT. And so, you know, I think that, you know, to Rick's point, if you're trying to move forward, the board's trying to move forward to get these projects completed, you know, you have funding appropriated for it, it's ready to go. You know, we've identified liquid fuels funding to make those improvements, and it's a matter of permitting. I think you have to weigh the option of, you know, what's the risk to the township in terms of your overall exposure to liability. It's always present, you know, but it is capped. You know, you have, you know, we have, as Will pointed out, there's coverage that it prevents us to not have an open checkbook. So I think, you know, the board can move forward with that. In time, I suspect that as other municipalities begin to look at this closer, you know, they're going to understand this is truly an issue that something has to change at PennDOT. So maybe Derry Township gets a second bite at the apple. But because we're so far up on the list and we're moving out first, we don't have a lot of negotiating power. And we're over a barrel in terms of trying to get these projects completed. So, my recommendation to you is I think this is one of those where you turn your head, hold your nose, and approve it. And, you know, we hope for the best and we get the projects complete. And then when we have an opportunity to go back to PennDOT to renegotiate those terms, I think we take that opportunity. But, you know, ultimately that's going to be your decision.
What, to reapproach PennDOT? When to reapproach PennDOT?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's not now, obviously. I mean, they just put this out. Until we kind of, you know, there's a fever pitch of municipalities that are willing to approach PennDOT.
And in defense of Derry, you know, and I think Tom pointed this out at some point, that, you know, we have already a robust maintenance program for our traffic signals. You know, we do an exceptional job of making sure that all of those things are up and running and working well. You know, for us, it's just going to be a continuation of what we do best. So, you know, do I feel more comfortable knowing that? Yeah, I don't like the idea of having to indemnify PennDOT, but we don't have much of a choice.
No, I agree. You're better situated than many municipalities are going to be here, because other municipalities will have maintenance agreements, you know, for third-party maintenance,
right,
whereas Derry's already assumed most of that responsibility. So you guys are certainly better situated to take this one on the chin than most.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that we won't be involved in lawsuits, but because we do our own maintenance and we do a good job of it, the likelihood is we shouldn't be having to pay big judgments for neglect or...
Right, and so you have your municipal claim limits to begin with, because you can't sue the government for an open-ended amount of money. I think the number's $500,000 per claim against the government. Governmental entity. So that's going to be your limit regardless. Now, if you throw PennDOT in there, you might be required to hit $500,000 twice. And I can't say for sure. I mean, that would be a question. I don't even know if that issue's ever come up, frankly. But, you know, yes, that's a possibility. But I think the reason I'm saying Derry's better situated is because another part of this agreement is it passes over the maintenance responsibilities to the township, and if you're already doing that, that's not something you don't need to establish a new procedure to do that.
That's what you have.
Well, I think we should, I think, you know, we have to address it. We've tried to go through the right channels, we end up not getting anywhere. We do still have this need to make these improvements.
Well, if I could add a little bit of sprinkle on top of the sundae. In a recent interview with the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, he's estimated that Pennsylvania's going to get $10 billion out of this infrastructure bill. Now, I don't know how true that is, or how that amount's going to be divided up in the state. But we have the Greater Hershey Transportation Study. We have stuff that we can potentially throw out there, and we're going to need this to go through PennDOT to get all the approvals done. So this is just a start. We have other things rolling down the hill, or ready to roll down the hill.
This isn't a one and done, is what you're saying.
Right.
We have other projects that are coming.
That could come, depending on what we want to do, how we want to do it.
Right. Any other, does anybody have any other comment they want to make, or do you want to make a motion? Rick, did you make a motion?
I didn't make a motion, I just brought it up for
discussion. If I could, just to remind the board, so on June 8th, I'm just going to read out of the minutes that we looked up here. Supervisors Zanuta made a motion to adopt resolution 2021-12 authorizing the Director of Community Development to sign the traffic signal maintenance agreement with the provision that wording would allow the township to return to the agreement pending any changes to the agreement by PennDOT. Vice Chairwoman Nutt seconded the motion. So I had agreed not to sign. So you've already passed the resolution authorizing the signature on this form. But we were asked to hold off on processing it until we heard back from Pat that we could revisit PennDOT. And I think we have. So it might be a motion to
proceed.
Is there even more needed if we've already given that? Or
was that motion subject to?
It says with the provision that wording would allow the township to return to the agreement pending any changes to the agreement by PennDOT. And what I recall from the meeting was that what that would be interpreted to is that we wanted a side agreement with PennDOT that if another municipality or municipalities caused PennDOT to change that agreement, we would want to be party to that. It doesn't look like we're going to get that.
Not immediately. And you know, I think if every municipality, if there is this groundswell that I was talking about, they're not going to just hold Derry Township. They could say, Derry, we're not renegotiating with you, but realistically, they're going to want to have a uniform application of whatever the regulations are. So I think you probably still end up able to, if there is a change, get in on that change. So my recommendation would be for a new motion authorizing the execution of, and Chuck, I'll need your help with the name of the...
Resolution 2021-12.
Just without condition.
Dash 12. Yeah, I gotta write that down. Dash 12. Okay. On fly motions. Okay. I'll make a motion to release the document under 21-12 with no conditions.
Motion made by Mr. Zaluba.
So you're adopting resolution?
No, by release, he means authorizing the signature.
Authorizing signature, okay.
Motion made by Mr. Zaluba. Is there a second?
A second.
Ms. Court, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not a lot to report on my end, though, board or committee since our last meeting. There is a Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting tomorrow. And last week, I met with Zach. And we created a video presentation, a virtual tour of the new community center that's going to be shown to a group at Derry Presbyterian Church on Sunday. And then we're going to re-edit that specifically for the rest of the community, post it on the Hershey Community Center website, and send that out in the email blast, not this Friday, but next Friday, the 20th. So looking forward to having our TV star take us through the community center. It was a lot of fun putting it together. And
can we get a sneak peek?
I can send it to you all in advance. But anyway, so that's what I've been working on. And the other thing is that Hershey Area All Things Diversity is reconvening to plan the 2021-22 season. And we're starting on October 13th with Dr. Hector Ortiz, who's going to be talking about better understanding Hispanic and Latinx cultures, sort of a wrap-up to Hispanic Heritage Month. So more to come on that.
Thank you. Mrs. Lett.
As Supervisor Zamuda noted, the two of us, as well as Mr. Emmerich, met with two homeowners on Walnut Hill Road to ask them about adding some sidewalks that were recommended as part of the transportation study. And we're hoping to hear back from those homeowners with some approvals for adding some sidewalk to make the area of Waltonville a lot safer for residents to access the trail and residents below in Oakmont and off of Randall, giving them an opportunity to safely walk up Waltonville Road and out of the line of traffic. So hopefully that will be resolved soon. Thank you both. That was really fun getting out to meet some of the neighbors, and
I was
feeling like we had a great response. So it was it should be a great project, and hopefully we'll get to do it.
Chuck, can I ask a quick question about that? What happens if we don't? I know one of the residents wasn't there. What happens if we never hear from that person?
I I think at that point that the project doesn't move forward because adding one segment doesn't get us to where we want to be. And I have not heard from her yet.
Should we make a second effort?
The letter was from hers.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. I walk her all the time.
Okay.
So the letter was from
her. So she got it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Very good. All right, thank you, Mrs. Nutt. Mr. Wyckoff.
I have no board or committee reports. Thank you.
One of the boards I sit on have met since the last meeting. Mr. Crispin and I have been working. You recall at the last meeting, Ms. Dye came and she had a concern about utility work being done by First Energy. Met Ed on distribution, electric distribution poles going through their neighborhood. And there are some folks in other parts of the township that are also affected by that work. Mr. Crispin and I are meeting next week with representatives from First Energy / Met Ed to discuss the work that they're doing. They're entitled to do the work in their utility easement, but we're hoping to persuade them to do it in a way that doesn't adversely impact the residents any further than it has in the past. So some of the problems have to do with the relocation of certain poles that are being moved from essentially where they were for many years to now new locations that are upsetting residents who now will have a utility pole, even though it's still a utility easement, now going to be kind of going to look like it's in their backyard, even though it really, you know, it's not really in their backyard. That's what it feels like. So we've made some good progress so far. We're making more progress, and I'm optimistic that we'll get the best result, that we can help these residents get the best result with MedEd and First Energy that we can. So we'll report back at the next meeting. Hopefully we'll have a good meeting next week. But that's, so for anybody, if you know any of these folks, I mean, we do have meetings scheduled, and we have had ongoing discussions with the project, the external affairs project manager in the area, to alert her. And in fact, they stopped doing all of the work, except they're still putting in the access roads they need. And they're still doing some prep work, but they will not drill any more holes than they've already. They basically stopped all the drilling work for poles. So they're awaiting the outcome of our meeting with them. So we've kind of got a ceasefire, if you will, for now.
Chris, I just wanted to mention that I actually bumped into Representative Mahaffey when I was out running errands, and we were chatting about this, and he was able to reach out to them as well. And so if there's anything that he can do to help you and Chris along the way, he did help out with the Forest Avenue issue with PPNL. So if you want to involve him at any point, I'm sure he'd be happy to help.
He mentioned that to me at the National Night Out event, and you know, I'll circle back with him. There was a distinction between the PPL work and this work that he drew for me, but I'm happy to include him in our conversation.
Yeah, just in case there's anything I can do to help. He did mention at one point to me, again, this was briefly just running errands, but that it might be helpful for those residents to write a letter to the PUC in addition to whatever else is going on. So anyway, I just mentioned it because I haven't had a chance to tell you that. He's going to be of help.
We'll reach out to him for sure. That's okay. So that's basically my report. All right, moving along then to departmental reports. Chief Warner, Police Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add on to Member Zamuda's comments about concert season, we're kind of in the throes of the middle of it this week with Fish here 2 days. This is kind of like what they call their home show. Because they're from Vermont, and this is probably going to be the closest that a lot of their Northeast fans are going to be able to attend before they end up moving out of country for their tour. So this is kind of like their last ditch effort to see the band and do what they do. So we have them for 2 days, and as Mr. Zamuda said, the Hell Omega tour on Friday is going to be our biggest concert. Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer. It's I think they're roughly to sold out right now for the stadium. But we do actually have an extension into the concert season. I think some of these concerts are actually going to be some traffic issues. Dead and Company is August 28th. Maroon 5 is September 5th. And Joe Bros, Jonas Brothers, are coming September 24th. So I can see all of those generating some traffic as well. So we're about halfway through concert season for the stadium. But we're handling it well, and hopefully things go smoothly. And I think some of the adjustments that H&R has made with that, the slip ramp or the slip lane off Park Boulevard has greatly helped ease some traffic congestion in town. So we'll keep monitoring that and continue with those efforts. The only other thing I have is our department is now fully trained as far as the sworn uniformed officers and detectives on our new body cams. We got 40 body cams, so all the uniformed officers and detectives, when they are in identifiable attire, are wearing their body cams, including me. So we have all received our training, went over the policy, and have begun to use those. So the people in the community will see us out and about. And, I've learned that if you're holding your grandson, they know where the button to turn it on is. So I have two test videos on file of my grandson pushing the button. So, it's definitely going to be an adjustment for us. What we hope to accomplish is transparency in what we do for the community. By having that recording, we can either prove or disprove any discrepancies on what's going on when officers are handling calls. And there's a lot more to them, but we see it as a good way of measuring and keeping things recorded in what we're doing. I see it as a way to inform our public from time to time of the right things our officers are doing, because they do an excellent job. And I know police officers are maligned across the country, but we have some excellent police officers here, and I believe that these body cameras will show that.
Oh, no, I was just going to make a little joke that there's a Green Day song, Wake Me Up When September Ends, so I thought that would just be a motivator that you get through the concert season.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah, and I did have a question, though, unrelated. Rick had mentioned about the FEMA alarm going off tomorrow. Is that something that we would put on Nixle to send out to residents? And if not, is that something that would come out on the police department social so people would know about it?
We can probably do both. And get that information out.
Okay, let's do that. Don't you think that'd be nice for people to know?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks.
Chief, I have a quick question too.
Yes.
Are the rules for the body cam going to be posted somewhere?
Yeah, we will eventually post those on our Crime Watch page. Actually, I'm in the process of publicizing several of our policies. Pursuit policy, use of force policy, I can't remember the title of it, but it has to do with officer conduct and internal investigations, those type of things. And the body cam policy will also be there. That's another part of our effort to be transparent with the public is posting some of these policies. Letting people know, first of all, what we're doing and how we do things. And I think it would be surprising to people to know that something that an officer does that may happen within a matter of a half a second or a second has policy behind it that is probably, I would say our use of force policy is, it's got to be roughly about 30 to 40 pages long. So in that split second, that officer has to be familiar with all aspects of that policy. So it will probably surprise people how much the officers have to know when they're doing things like using force or taking a person into custody. So we want to let the public know what those parameters are, what the policy is, and so they know how much thought and training goes behind what we do.
Thanks, Chip. Great idea.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Moving on to the fire department, Mr. Sassaman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. 70 calls for the month of July. And in that month, we also, Rodney Sonderman, Deputy Chief, went out to Colorado, and he took a week-long class sponsored by FEMA on tank cars and hazardous materials. We get quite a bit moving through the township, so he went out and took that week-long class. It was very good for him. Also, one of our newest members, Avery Heston, came into the fire department, really no knowledge of fire service, and has gone through his four modular classes, and also just this weekend passed his Firefighter 1 class. So that's probably one of the fastest firefighters that we have move through those training classes and become certified to the Firefighter 1 level. So we're very proud of him and what he's done. He's very dedicated, very motivated. So I just wanted to let you all know that as well. And that's all I have for this evening.
Great. No, thank you for reporting that out to us.
Moving along to Public Works, Mr. Clark.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Library.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to let you know the Friends of the Library completed their book sale last week, first one in 2 years. And we have about 2 weeks left of summer reading. That's about it.
Great.
And we are in search of a new director.
Congrats on your anniversary, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll have that new director soon.
That's what's up. Right before budget season.
Right before budget season. Thank you. Parks and Rec, Mr. Jackson.
I'm happy to report that we did receive approval from Derry Township School District to hold our arts and crafts show on Saturday, November 6th at the Hershey High School. So we're definitely excited to be resuming that annual tradition and just keeping our fingers crossed that we don't see any changes to COVID protocols for that event. Also, we did just update the pictures on the Community Center website earlier today. So if you go to HersheyCommunityCenter.org, you can see all the latest for construction updates.
Thank you, Zach. Township Engineer, Mr. Banana.
Just wanted to follow up that we did receive the information for the Walker Avenue study, the one way that Lieutenant Free did, and we looked at it this afternoon. Generally agree with their recommendations. There's some pros and cons to extending that one way. So we wanted to talk to him about that, so we'll do that this week and then get a recommendation over to him for you guys' approval.
Very good, thank you, Matt. Community Development, Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. I wanted to let you know that Zach and I are working with Bikes and Beer, who is launching a program this year with the Trogues. It's scheduled for September 18th. You may recall that they generally give Park and Rec a stipend out of what they raise in doing their ride. So there'll be some volunteer opportunities, and we'll be reviewing the routes that they've chosen. There's no need for police closures or anything like that as part of this, but hopefully we'll get the volunteer opportunities out on our website.
Very good. Thank you, Chuck. And Township Manager, Mr.
Chris Lee, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, we have been working pretty closely with MedEd or First Energy over the last couple of days to try to resolve the ongoing issues with the power line relocation project that they're engaged in. One of the things I did follow up, Supervisor Nutt reached out to me last week to inquire about where we were with USDA and the vulture issue on Derry Road. Still waiting on a reply. Tried to follow up with them. They're not as accessible either at this point, but we're hopeful that we'll get at least some tips and techniques from them to try to assist the neighbors to deal with the vulture problem that they're having. I know Zoo America is in contact with them as well. So I think on all ends, we're doing about as good of a job as we can with an issue that's very difficult to control. So aside from that, nothing else to report tonight, Mr. Chairman, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christian. All right, well, that concludes our departmental reports. The next item on the agenda is our second visitor. So, of course, same rules as the first time. Anyone is welcome to come forward, put a couple public comment on the record. We just ask first name, last name, address, and try to keep it to 3 minutes.
Hey, Rick, is this on? Okay. Richard Gamble, 39 Hopkins, New York, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I want to thank Matt for sharing information on the business plan, particularly on the cost for access to services. One thing that I'm a little concerned about, and since I've been working with Cocoa Packs and food distribution for the community, I don't know if you recall a little history, but when we first started talking about the community center, we had 5% of the children attending Derry Township School were on this subsidy or assistance program to the state. As of last year, we went from 5% to 21%. So that's, you know, asking $10 a day or for a resident, I think the parents are going to take that $10 and put it towards food. I think the expectation, if you get a better business plan based on your expectation of actual full-time membership, what you project it will generate, your daily generation, your weekly or monthly, however you broke it down, and then compare that to your cost of actually running it, which you will have to do regardless of your membership, to get a better understanding of where we are standing as far as subsidizing this program. So maybe we don't want to go too big, too quick, too fast if we can't afford, or meaning the community, members of the community won't be able to support. It's a great idea. I think the community centers really need it. But I think when we start charging high absorbent fees, say for example, if a lady wants to rent a room for a birthday party, I don't think she's going to come up with $40. She's going to have it in her back, in her house or in her backyard. So I think some of these costs, I think we've got to really take a look at and talk with the township, the Derry Township School District. They'll tell you, and according to Chris, there's more and more applications for the Cocoa Packs program coming in already, and we haven't even started a year yet. So that's something you want to keep in mind. But like I say, a good business plan would get a little research and figure out, you know, what are our expectations? What is the usage expectations? And of course, the economy, the way it's looking today, supports what I'm saying, because I used to fill up my car for $30, now it cost me $50. I used to go to the grocery store, average $75 a week, now I'm at $130. So this is something we got to take a look at. And it's not going to go away in 1 or 2 years, I'm afraid. So anything we can do to support or get the interest, I think would be helpful. Thank you.
Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Hearing none.